May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. At the beginning of this particular season of the church year, when Christ was baptized, you may remember that our Heavenly Father declared Christ to be the Beloved. Well, today, in St. Mark's Gospel, we find our Father in heaven doing the exact same thing again. But whereas before, his words were serving as a public affirmation for Jesus, today, on the mountaintop, they serve for us as a command. Jesus is God's beloved Son, and that's kind of a big deal. I mean, it's not every day that God takes on human flesh and walks around with us. God hanging out with mere humans? Before Christ, the last time that God did that kind of thing was in the Garden of Eden. Now, commentators like to focus on other Old Testament passages when comparing what's happening here with the passages in the Old Testament. But thinking of Moses giving the law from Mount Sinai, or Elijah calling down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel in order to best the prophets of Baal, well, that's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, for goodness sake, Moses and Elijah have actually shown up in the Transfiguration story today. But all kidding aside, I think it's important to remember what happened in Eden when looking at our particular gospel passage today, because that was the last time before Jesus that we could say that God literally walked among us. I mean, sure, you might think of Enoch, who walked with God and ended up being translated up into heaven, thus avoiding death. But most reputable scholars see that as figurative language for living a holy life, not unlike when a good Christian friend admonishes us to walk with the Lord or walk with Christ, encouraging us to a deeper and proactive connection with God and hopefully a less sin-ridden lifestyle. However, today we see something different. God the Son is already here in human flesh. God in Christ is literally walking among the sons of thunder, as Peter, James, and John were known. Plus, there's a couple of Old Testament luminaries. Then the curtain is pulled back on eternity, and we get a glimpse of Jesus now in his fully human and fully divine glory, just as we will see him when this world is all said and done. Future Christ is standing with his people now. Not just a baby in a manger, not just a wandering, wonder-working prophet kicking up dust in Galilee. And it's really quite overwhelming, as well as it should be. Now, when we think back to Eden, you may recall a sense of closeness, even informality, that God had with Adam and Eve. Indeed, the best translations for the word Abba, which Jesus uses and encourages us to use whenever praying to our Father in heaven, well, that word translated into English at its best is Daddy. If you're squirming about that particular word, well, that's good, because Jesus didn't come to make us comfortable, but to reconnect us with our Heavenly Father. And if that means challenging our distant, impersonal conceptions of how we should relate to God, well, then that's just the prescription that our great physician ordered to cure our case of deism. Still, it can be hard to approach God with such closeness when Jesus is dazzling in his full divine majesty. I mean, perhaps even more so when you hear the Father booming, "Listen to him," from the haze of the Holy Spirit hovering all around. As any kid can attest to, when our earthly parents correct us or instruct us or redirect us, those aren't exactly gooey, gushy moments of cuddly happiness and effervescent joy. But the closeness should still be there. I can recall seeing children who were beaming with pride when they saw their daddy in their military dress uniform or their mommy heading off to her rounds at the clinic with her doctor's whites and stethoscope. And those are moments of relative formality, but the kindred spirit of intimate relationship remained nonetheless. With that in mind, perhaps we can dispel those myths that we hear from our less liturgical friends about our worship somehow being less authentic or less from the heart because, well, you don't see me wearing jeans in worship, or we use written prayers instead of trying to stumble over our own tongues, trying to say something meaningful spontaneously to God. I think it's pretty rare this week that the husband and wife that we love will come to us with a handmade written card with their own poem instead of just picking something up that has our thoughts exactly, courtesy of Hallmark. So let's put aside the silliness that orderly or fancy worship is somehow a way of inhibiting us from being real with God. But worship styles aside, there can be a real danger when we perceive God in his commanding voice to listen to Jesus. That could be a barrier. If we have thoughts of God as just merely some judge ready to pounce on our every misstep, well, that could keep us from wanting to draw close to the God who's already drawn close to us in Christ. Of course, this doesn't mean that sin is no big deal, but we tend to project the relationships that we have with our parents or perhaps other authority figures onto God. So, for instance, if we had the proverbial drunk dad who'd come home and beat on his family if they didn't snap to his every whim and with quickness and precision, or if we had a teacher or a boss who made impossible demands and then excoriated us publicly when we didn't live up to them, or maybe if we bring our own sense of shame that we've been carrying around when we didn't live up to our own expectations, or failed to save the day, or couldn't be the hero when the crisis was tough. But when our Father commands us to listen to Jesus, it's not a trap. It's for our good. Elsewhere, Jesus reminds us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And as much as he may raise the bar in places like the Sermon on the Mount, he also promises to send us his very own Spirit so we can follow through on God's commands. So God's direction to us to listen to him is more than just a mere aspiration. They are life-giving words that help us to tap into the very people that he created us to be. And though we may fail time and again to live up to them, the potential to obey them and seize the goodness that results from that obedience, it's as close as our very breath. That's because the Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of every single believer. We don't obey in our own fallen human effort, but in the strength of our risen Savior. As St. Paul says in our other reading today, it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God's own limitless ability shines in you and 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 in me. His very presence abides with us through thick and thin. And if God walking among us in the Garden of Eden or in the person of Jesus as he's wandering around Galilee is a wonder to you, well, how much more wondrous is it that God lives in each and every single one of us who claim Jesus as Lord. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus did not set us up for failure. He doesn't push us away from being close to God through his dazzling appearance or giving us the gospel law to love God wholeheartedly and our neighbor the same way that we would love ourselves. And we sure as heck don't need to set up a permanent campsite like Peter tried to stay close to God. Because our Lord is already as intimate as he can be, dwelling within us through the gift of his Holy Spirit. So until that day when Jesus returns and dwells among us in his full heavenly glory, in addition to the indwelling Spirit dwelling within us, let us listen to him and draw closer to him day by day in all that we think, feel, do, and say. Let us pray. Gracious Jesus, on the holy mountain, you gave us a peek into your being in eternity as the Father commanded us to listen to you. So permeate our lives by your indwelling Spirit that we may always have strength to obey you and that we may fully know the joy of being close to our loving Father in heaven, with whom you reign with the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen.